morning. Well, everything fires up, and hopefully it fires up and wants to work. I'm going to take the opportunity that I have right now, because it's the first time I've had the opportunity to speak in a few months, and to thank everyone for your thoughts and prayers for Sarah and I, and for helping us through a very difficult time. It has meant more to us than you would know. And we're just grateful for a family that cares so much. Now, the thing that I learned this morning as I was setting up is that there's one thing that people care about when I speak. And it's the fact that there's going to be some type of top 10 list. Well, unfortunately, there is no top 10 list this morning, but there is humor. It is not in a top 10 list format. Realize now that it needs to be a top 10 list. It's just difficult coming up with top 10 lists. Although this one I should have been able to, so I apologize for that. But you get 12 this morning. Crazy product warning. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to read product labels. If you wonder whether or not I'm a nerd about the fact that I read product warnings, it's like kids tell me, you're a nerd. Well, I'm a computer teacher. My wife's a science teacher. Nerd is just in our blood. So sometimes I will read product labels, just because they have some really interesting stuff there. Who comes up with this? Now, this is a very interesting one to start off with. Warning, do not attempt to stop blade with hand. This is on a chainsaw. And you'll hate this one too. Do not use as an ice cream topping on a box of hair coloring. Yummy. That's just when I see a box of hair coloring, you know, that would really go good on some rocky road. Warning, may cause drowsiness on a bottle of sleeping pills. There's a moment here, you know, as I'm reading some of these that I can see, like Bill Engvall saying, here's your sign, for those of you who know him. This isn't a product label, but Sarah really liked this one, so I have to include it because she's the boss. Beware! To touch these wires is instant death. Anyone found doing so will be prosecuted. That's a sign of a railroad crossing. Do not use while sleeping on a hairdryer. Sean, be careful with that. For indoor or outdoor use only on Christmas lights. Glad they clarified that for me. Really worried. Guess you can't use them like running outside your house and running inside and back out real quick. Caution, contents may catch fire on a box of matches. If they don't, you were ripped off. This one, a lot of you may have heard about this one. Was big at, well, it's going to date me, but probably a decade and a half or so ago. You can be a winner! No purchase necessary. Details inside on a bag of Fritos. Some assembly required on a 500-piece puzzle box. Product will be hot after heating on a Marks and Spencer's bread pudding. Warning, may contain nuts on a can of peanuts. And do not eat if seal is missing. And this warning is located on the seal. Those are just a few of the ones that, as I was looking at. Now this morning, Happy New Year. It's a little late. I mean, we're already cruising into 2013. Most of you have stopped making the mistake of writing 2012 and then
And then writing 2013, although I'm not sure that my wife is. A few years, it's only been like 2 or 3 years ago. Was it 2010? 2010. I am the carrier of checks. Sarah is the writer of said checks. So every morning, she gets a check from me while we're sitting here and writes out for contribution. And then, was it you or Brandon that figured out that there was a problem?
I told Brandon there was going to be a problem. He told me there still
is. Yes. What'd you do?
I almost wrote the check for 2008, and it was 2010. So I told Brandon, look, I almost made a mistake. I almost wrote it for 2008, and he pointed out to me that I put 2006.
'06 was a good year, though, wasn't it? Okay. The new year. It's a time where we make resolutions. It's a good thing that I'm speaking this morning, because by now it's a time where we've already broken most of those resolutions. The average person will make a break before mid-January, their resolutions. Sometimes it's because things that, you know, we should really want to do with our lives, but we really don't want to do them. It sounds good. You know, exercise every day, so, you know, you drive past the gym every day and you kind of wave at them and you're like, well, that's better this year than last year. This morning, we're going to talk about three resolutions that will strengthen us and that will strengthen God's kingdom. Our first resolution. Now, I will tell you, not everyone appreciates my humor. One thing that I like to do is use humor, especially in my classroom. I deal with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders every day. And if there's not humor there, they will either make my life miserable, or they'll fall asleep. Or they will fall asleep and make my life miserable as they're snoring loudly in class and everybody else is giggling at them. So I like to use humor. So some of the titles have a little bit of humor into it. What's that smell? Oh, smells. Smells in the middle school classroom are just a lovely thing. One thing that I can count on every year, and now that Sarah is like diagonally across the hall from me at school in the science classroom, one of the things they do are rockets, which means they light matches. And that smell emanates down the hallway. And you would think it would really bother kids, who it really bothers are the teachers. And I'll be standing at the end of the hallway watching in between classes to make sure that people don't do something stupid. Typically when there's an adult there, they don't do things as stupid as if one's not there. And teachers will come running up to me. Do you smell that? Is the building on fire? And they're really stressed out about it. I'm like, they're doing rockets. And, well, what if one of the rockets exploded? Well, I'm sure one of the teachers would let us know. It's just really one of those things that those types of smells really bother people. Now, there are good smells. For me, we went to New York. Well, before I even get to it, one of Sarah's favorite smells that I found out while we were in New York this time is we walked outside, and the snow there when we walked out to take the kids sledding was about up to my knees, which for her is great, because she just scampers around on top of it like, yeah. Well, someone of my girth and stature takes one step, and as I'm going to take the other step, my plant leg dives all the way down into the bottom of the snow. And so I take the next step, and as I'm pulling this one out, so for me, it's a whole lot more work. Well, she's just standing outside. I love the smell of winter. There's 3 feet of snow on the ground. You know, you've got the pine in the background. It is a really nice smell. So that was a pleasing smell for her. A pleasing smell for Blake while we were in New York is the fact that my mother-in-law knows that there is one food that I like a whole lot. And that is this wonderful creation. I don't know who came up with it, but it is awesome. And I don't know what all's into it. A lot of you in here probably would. All I know is there is a ball of peanut butter dipped in chocolate. When I arrived, we got off the plane, and then we drove into their house, and we walked in. She handed me a bowl. A vat, if you will, of 250 peanut butter balls. Okay. And then she told me, this was a Tuesday, it was Christmas Day, she said, I will make more on Saturday for the New Year's. And I opened it up and I was like, uh-oh, I have work to do. Well, how did I know that Sarah's brothers would be arriving in town? And they helped me with that work. And when Saturday came around, we were eating the last of that 250 vat of peanut butter balls. I was shocked. Not really, because I probably had 225 of them, but the smell all of a sudden started in the kitchen. And it was the smell of chocolate. It's like, and it just kind of takes you there. And then all of a sudden I walk in and she's rolling the peanut butter ball. So then the peanut butter and chocolate, goes, I'm making myself hungry thinking about it right now. There are smells that we really, really like. All of you have a smell that just you... And then there's some not-so-pleasing smells. Now, I'm not going to go into some really crazy not-so-pleasing smells. For me, every day when I, not every day, but when we have to go in the football locker room at my school, that is the smell of death. I don't know if there's any other way of putting it, but the nastier it is, the happier the football players are. For Sarah and I, I'll never forget this. We moved into our house in April, and we left in June of the year to go to New York. Well, one of the things that I was so happy about our house is that I could grill out. That was something that we weren't really allowed to do in our apartment and different things like that. They didn't want us to have a grill on our patio because they didn't want to see the apartment going down in a blaze of glory. And I could have attached a grill to our deck and then wheeled it out into the parking lot, but I didn't want to get hit by people. So we grilled a lot. From April to June before we left, we grilled a lot. In fact, we left on a Tuesday that year, and Monday night, we grilled. Why? Because we looked in our fridge and we were like, all this has to be cooked. Let's throw it on the flame. So we're having burgers or whatever were in there. And then we put all of that in our trash can. And now our trash is taken out on Friday. It's taken down the street on Friday. So we took it down before we left, and my parents came over and they brought the can up. And the can set up near our house for the next 5 weeks. Through 100, 110 degree weather and all this kind of stuff. And we didn't think anything of it. Well, my parents didn't open up the can to look inside of it. The trash didn't get taken out. The problem was, apparently, the ground beef container had fallen out of one of the bags and stuck to the bottom. And we did not find that out the first time until I'm taking the trash out and I open up the can. And I got, like, sucker punched. And then, of course, at that point in time, what you need to do is shut the lid. But you can't. I was, like, frozen. And then I look down, and I'm like, ugh. And I realize there's only going to be one way to get that out. The can is about this tall. My arm's this tall. It's going to take me getting down in there. With that lovely, lovely smell. Our can still has... not that a trash can is a glorious place, but ours is a little worse than most. Even the dogs run away from our neighbor's dogs. You know, dogs tend to be, we open up the trash, and they take off. So smells are a big part of, you know, one of our senses. It's how we interact with our world in a way. And so our question to start off this morning, and sorry to offer a resolution, is what's your aroma? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, we find this. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ, to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Those we come into contact with are going to know our aroma. Are we being the aroma of Christ? As the passage tells us, for some, our aroma of Christ is going to bring them home to salvation. For others, it's going to push them away. And it tells us that with sincerity, not as someone, as it says, peddlers of the Word of God, but through sincerity, we speak His name. Therefore, our first resolution this year is to be the aroma of Christ. Now, our next thing that we're going to talk about, what's in a name? The funny thing about it is we are recognized by our name or our nickname. Once we are known by that name, it's hard for people to think of us differently. Now, I'm going to rewind back a little bit. And I'm going to have to lay out a longer story here. This goes back probably 15 and a half, 16 years ago. That point in time, I was in high school, preparing to head off to party. And after church on Wednesday nights, a big group of us would always go to Cracker Barrel. Now, I always had my favorite pastime at Cracker Barrel. Dave would be sitting next to me, and he would always order the steak and biscuits, which took a long time. And I would always order the biscuits and gravy. I like biscuits and gravy. I think it's because it's health. You know, biscuits, gravy, there's nothing healthier than biscuits. Oh, you throw some sausage into it. I mean, it's the picture of health. The other thing I liked about it is on the menu, it was $1.99. I was like, $1.99? All right. The other thing is it was always made. So as soon as I would order it, because there were 30 people sitting around the table and they didn't want to wait until everyone's food was ready, they would bring my biscuits and gravy out to me. Dave would be sitting there looking at it, and I could really take it quickly and just pour the gravy over it. But while he was watching it, I would break the biscuit open. I would take a little ladle. I would spread a little bit on it. And I'd grab it, spread a little bit more. And I'd just see him just staring at it, shaking his head, so I'd spread a little bit more. Well, I was in the zone that night. In fact, we weren't in our normal spot. They had this round table with rectangular tables coming off of it. And I was sitting at one of the rectangular tables, tempting Dave with the biscuits and gravy. When all of a sudden, from the center of the round table, something happens. And I hear laughter at first, and then the laughter kind of rumbles down to me. And then, of course, it takes a while after people are laughing to tell you what goes on. Apparently, Courtney, about a year and a half, if even that much. One of her favorite movies at that time was Toy Story. She had a little Toy Story figurine. Well, she held up the Woody action figure. It's about this big. And she's just so happy. She goes, Bee! Well, of course, everybody takes a second to think, and then they look at the, And so forever, I was known as this guy. Even when I got to Hardy, it somehow followed me there to where some of the guys, even when they contact me, email or something like that, they don't start it with, like, Woody. They introduce me to their mom. Mom, this is Woody. Like, well, I really have another name. But that was my name. People knew me as Woody. Unfortunately, the years have not been so kind, and it come out now, I'd probably be more like Buzz Lightyear. Actually, that's the Eric look, you know. Turn Eric and kind of do the... But we're known by our name. So my question this morning is, what name do people think of you when they see you? What name comes to mind? Is it Christ? So as Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. This is where we first had the name Christians being used to describe the followers of Christ. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. It's really difficult for us. For one, we don't like to suffer. I mean, I don't think there's a big line of people waiting in line for a big bag of hurt. I haven't suffered enough this year. I would enjoy that. We don't like suffering, and we certainly don't like it when those around us cause us to suffer. When they call us names, when they bash us, when they attack our beliefs and different things like that. And one of the hardest things for us is not being ashamed. We're fine with that. It's the glorifying God in that. Too many times I think we want to fire right back at them. But it should be a point in time where we're ready to glorify God. So that's our second thing. What do people know you by? Our last thing is the most important. And probably none of this is going to work. And one of the big reasons why resolutions don't work is because we need to make a point to communicate with God. First of all, communication is a two-way street. It's an essential part of any meaningful relationship. If you don't communicate, things aren't going to go so well. Communication isn't always so easy. From a marriage standpoint, it's not always easy for me to dive into those deep feeling areas and just want to discuss it with Sarah. You know, we've done some of those books in the past, and they'll ask the question, and she's just waiting for my response. I don't know, it's really difficult for me sometimes to just open up. I'm sure I'm not alone in that, but it's something that we have to work on. Lots of things can get lost in translation. I had a friend of mine that had gone on a spring break campaign to Scotland. And they had gotten up one night when they had been together on like a Monday night or Tuesday night. And they said, "We have some skits prepared for you tonight." Well, they immediately started laughing. He said, "I don't know, maybe they're laughing at my accent, you know." Because he's like, "Because I found their Scottish accent kind of funny myself." So he thought that. Well, he kept saying that, okay, for our next skit, and every time he would say it, they would laugh. For our next skit, and they didn't really say anything, they just laughed. Well, apparently afterwards, when they were talking to him, they let him know that when they're talking about, when he was saying skits, that means a digestive problem for them. That doesn't end well. And so he kept getting up there, "Okay, we have some skits for you tonight." And And then he said, so the rest of the week, since he was the one speaking for them, the guy whose house he was staying at would take him by the bathroom every night and be like, "Now, you know, you told us on the first night," and then just smack him on the back and laugh. Well, that wasn't his intention. It was just a different culture, a different way of saying things. So, communication is something that takes time. The two-way street part about it that we have to remember is, first of all, we need to pray. God knows what's going on in our life. God knows our needs much better than we even know our needs. Because lots of times, our needs are really wants. But we see them as needs. So it's not like God has to have us tell him what we need or what we want. But God understands the importance of communication. And he understands that we need to communicate with him. The communication is going to bring about a deep and intimate relationship with him. The next part is we need to dive into his word. That's God communicating with us. And I didn't say we need to read the word. That's part of it. We need to dive in. It's not just the surface reading of his material. It's diving in. It's trying to find out what God is communicating
to you. You see, the Word of God was made for us so that we can have that communication with Him. It's what He wanted us to know. It's the amazing thing about it is no matter how many times you read passages or verses or different things like that, depending on where you are at a different point in your life, it's going to have a different impact. Maybe even a different meaning. So it's something that you don't just read through once and go, okay, finished. It's something we need to dive into. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. See, that's the really challenging part of this verse is, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. It's impossible to keep his words if you don't know them. Lots of times, one of the biggest problems that churches, religious establishments in general have is they expect someone to stand up in front of them and either preach or to teach a class or something like that, that to tell them what God wants for their life. That's not what it's all about. We need to be diving into the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture is there to make us complete. It's there to help us in all aspects of our life and in all aspects as we try to reach those around us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's living, it's active, that's why it needs to be a part of our life. It's also the answer to how is our world ever going to be a better place? You hear people talking about how terrible our world is and how there's no hope for it. Well, that takes God completely out of the equation. We see the fact that God's Word is living, it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It may be bleak, but I know we all know people who have been as far away from God as possible, that the Word of God has pierced their heart. And it's changed them. And while we're here, that's one of our callings. So as we think about it this morning, this year we need to resolve to live in a way to be worthy of the name of Christ. We need to be the aroma of Christ. And we need to do our best to communicate daily with God. This morning, if you are struggling with anything, that's the wonderful thing about why God designed His church to be the way that it is so that we didn't have to do this alone. There are going to be times in life when you are down and out and beaten and ready to give up. And those are times that if you've picked friends that are not of the same mind as you are, that you may be in trouble. But if you have a family around you that's ready to grab you, pick you up, and help you along the way, it can make all the difference. If you've never made that decision, if you've read the Word of God, and it has pierced your heart,
and you're just living day by day knowing that you need to make the decision to follow Him, there's never a better time than now. I think back to when I made the decision. I've been thinking about it. And then one Tuesday morning, I woke up and I said, I have to do something about it. Now, I had to be at school at 8 o'clock in the morning, which means I will leave about 7:15, which means I had to call David about 6:55 in the morning to tell him my thoughts. You're not aware David's not necessarily a morning person, especially not at 6:55 in the morning. So I was grateful that Becky was there to translate for me. Because I said it like 4 or 5 times. And said, what? And Becky finally said, he wants to be baptized. Oh, okay. So it was that day that we went. And the interesting thing about it is I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for everything. And all of a sudden, someone with a sheepish grin sits down next to me. And it's Sean. And he had been thinking the same thing. And all he needed at that point in time was someone else that's in the same boat. In fact, he told me, I can't believe that you were going to do this without telling me. So that's one of the great things about that. Sean and I had that experience together. It was the day after Frosty. Frosty had decided on Monday or whatever that he couldn't wait. So Monday night, so that was a really good week for our part of the group. But there's no better time than right now. So even if it's not this moment, even if you're struggling with it, at any point in time, I guarantee you can pick up the phone and call just about anybody sitting in this room and say, I'm ready. And we'll come get you. If you have any need this morning, come while together we stand and as we sing.
Savior, we enter the glory and walk.